at Lonro House. I can't remember what cause it was, but you marched from your office. That what you were in Senate at that point.
Yes, I was at KCC in the Senate.
And then you came and contributed to that particular cause. You threw down like 100 Gs. And we only needed like 20 Gs.
I can't remember what it was.
Yeah.
But it sounds right. Sounds right.
Karibu sana.
Asante.
How
great
you been?
Great to be here, man. I'm good.
Yeah?
A lot has changed since then.
A lot has changed.
Yeah, and I'm grateful to God and the people of Nairobi for this opportunity.
Indeed.
To just work on our capital and try to restore the glory and just create the capital of the future, you know, a global hub. That
exactly.
Nairobi is, you know, and that means grappling with the challenges of what it has become,
mm-hmm.
sorting out the mess that has been, mm-hmm. while still forecasting the future and planning forward, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think we'll delve into it deeper in terms of planning and all these things that people are asking. And so many questions coming in. In fact, as I was telling you earlier on off mic, don't hold it against me. It's not people.
But let me tell you, Makbul, same number. Same guy.
Exactly.
Yesterday I was listening.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you're back. So we switched back to capital.
Such an honor.
So I was listening.
Yeah.
And then I hear you saying, some chaps from Nairobi were supposed to come, whatnot. I'm like, boss.
Yeah.
Who are chaps from Nairobi?
Yeah.
No one books my interviews. I called you and said, look, let me come myself.
I was so honored when you did that.
Yeah. No one books my interviews. I call myself and I come.
And thank you.
So if you need anything from Nairobi, call me.
And this is exactly what Nairobians need to understand,
yeah.
right? That you're there for them and you're working for them and you have an open door policy.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean,
yeah.
It's challenging, but it's the most fulfilling thing I've ever done. You know, when you see impact,
mm-hmm.
that this little action has changed someone's life,
mm-hmm.
and this is where we're moving to.
Yeah.
It's really encouraging.
Tough times have hit Kenya in general, in Africa, in East Africa, name it, the world.
Yeah.
Nairobi is facing it as a hub.
Mm-hmm.
And we're facing it in our little estates.
Yes.
From the Kilileshwas of this world, the Kilimanis of this world, Westlands, Lavington, down to Pipeline.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Well, you see, change is inevitable. Nairobi is 696 square kilometers. It won't increase. Our population is growing. The world is urbanizing very quickly. By 2050... will be a population of 10.5 million in Nairobi. Mm-hmm. Today, we are 5 million. A lot of the planning, and let me just give you a background, you know.
Yeah.
Nairobi used to work very closely with the national government in the 70s, in the 80s, when we were growing up. Things used to work. I remember, I was born in Ngara, just here close.
Yeah.
In Ngara, and garbage would be picked up on Thursday and on Tuesday.
Yes.
Those at Kamero used to come.
Yes.
The Nyayo bus was on time, or the Kenya bus was on time. You know,
indeed.
If you miss the 7:01, you get the 7:21.
Indeed, there were timings.
There were timings.
Yeah.
Even if they're two guys, it'll move.
Exactly.
You know, and things were working.
Yeah.
In 1992, the national government, because multipartism came in,
mm-hmm.
and so the national government and KANU lost Nairobi to the opposition.
Mm-hmm.
So from 1992, it was let go of. Because it was in the hands of the opposition.
Mm-hmm.
So from 1992 to 2002, a lot of the things that we are trying to roll back and just sort out
mm-hmm.
is what happened in that time. So it became derelict. Mm-hmm. The councillors gave out land allocations, planning went haywire.
Mm-hmm.
People are doing whatever they want to do.
Yeah.
The influx of the matatus and whatnot went to such a crazy extent that you now need to sort that out. But remember, the problem, at least one good thing happened in 1994. And I'll explain you when I get to water.
Yeah.
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 From 94 to 97. Mm-hmm. So here we are. We're a capital. We've now moved into devolution.
Mm-hmm.
We now have a governor. We have had two elected governors, and in between another two.
Indeed.
By virtue of, different processes.
Yeah.
And we must grapple with the reality of what has happened, but also remember that we're still that place that everyone looks up to.
Indeed.
In the region.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
I heard yesterday saying guys of TZ would be told, Nairobi, half London.
Exactly.
You know,
it's the thing that they used to say. Now they don't say it anymore.
They still do. They still do. Nairobi is rated the best place to live in by Lonely Planet, which is a very, respected travel site. We still have a lot of guys coming into Nairobi. Conferencing is amazing because God has gifted us with some gifts.
Exactly.
One of the biggest gifts is geography. Yeah. Indeed. In 5 hours, you're in Dubai. In 8 hours, you're in Amsterdam or London.
Yeah.
In 13 hours, and this always really, you know, I'm amazed by it. In 13 hours, you're in New York, but from New York to Nairobi is 11 hours. And I keep saying, ni mteremko, you know, so the pilot anakajanga free. And we. But I mean, so the whole world comes here.
Yeah.
All these multinationals, I have friends in the, you know, the UN agencies, all want to be here.
Yeah.
We have the environmental capital, UNICEF. UNEP. UNICEF, I was talking to the head of logistics, I'm moving their capital here, you know. UNFPA, I'm moving here. Everyone wants to be here.
Yeah.
So it takes you 5 hours to get here, but then you get stuck for 4 hours in traffic. You know? And those are the things that we must sort out, and those are the things we're sorting out.
Exactly. And as you said, it is about 8 hours or so, and 45 minutes actually, in terms of filming, we usually celebrate Nairobi for being 45 minutes across everything, from a desert, from a beach, from a lake, everything is 45 minutes.
Yeah, to a national park, to everything. Yeah.
Whatever it is. But like you said earlier on, as I take you back, 5 million people during the day, 4 million at night.
Actually, it's more. It's more now. It's possibly five during the day. No, six during the day, five during the night.
Yeah. All these people need a space to stay and sleep.
Yeah.
And neighborhoods are popping and every single place.
And that's why, you see, the city needs to be planned, and we're planning it. Yeah.
Indeed.
But people must stop. Because I've had people complaining, oh, these developments, you know, you're building skyscrapers, you're building huge, you know, apartments, and we want to have an acre in Kileleshwa, and you can't.
Yeah.
Nairobi can only go up.
No.
It can only go up, you know. Mm-hmm. The restrictions have been lifted. Like, I remember asking the president, because of the Isili people,
right,
that, you know, the reason we had airbase, and airbase is the reason why you can't go up.
Mm-hmm.
The reason for it was really to evacuate the head of state during an emergency. I told him, boss, if this way, you'll be stuck in traffic just getting here.
Yeah.
So that original use doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Now, what we need to do is to make sure, because that many capitals have gone through this before.
Indeed.
And you name it, globally.
Yeah.
It's just to make sure that, because we don't want urban sprawl.
Mm-hmm.
You know, an urban sprawl is suburban sprawl, or whatever you call it.
Mm-hmm.
Where people now have to go to the outskirts, like, you know, Kamulu or you know, Mavoko or whatnot,
which is now coming to the Nairobi, city, right? Yeah,
and that's worse, you know, and so we want people to be able to be in the city, so the concomitant services that are required, whether it is water, whether it is sewer, within those areas that used to be, you know, a half acre plots,
right.
Bungalows
that
are now apartment, like even my own house.
Yeah.
You know, I can't sit in my compound because there's a whole apartment block next to it.
Exactly,
and it's okay. And I'm on Dennis Street,
right?
You know, right next to State House. That's where I've lived since 2015. Right. You know, I've been there all these years.
Mm-hmm.
But you must accept that the city is changing. If you want that kind of experience, then you'll have to go elsewhere.
And I think Nairobians are accepting the fact that we have to. Urbanization is inevitable.
It's inevitable.
Yeah. We are going higher because of space.
We can't
get any more acreage.
We must go higher.
But in doing the same thing,
we
are not improving on other terms. In infrastructure is the same
thing. Oh, no, we are.
In terms of sewer system and water, it's the same thing.
No, it's not.
Every single day when we come around, how many Bowsers have you met along the way? How many exhausters do you see in a day? Going back and forth in different states.
I'd love to tell you what we've been doing and what we're doing.
Yeah.
Because there's a plan.
Mm-hmm.
Things don't just happen. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And let me give you an example. Because you must talk about water and sewer. Yeah. And whatever you do on water, 75% you must do on sewer.
Mm.
You know, that's just the natural way of things. The problem was lack of water planning. We've had four water sources. You see, Nairobi, unfortunately, doesn't have its own natural water source, apart from the rain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and which is something that we must start capturing and reusing wastewater.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our first source of water was the colonialist, 1907.
Mm-hmm.
Kikuyu Springs gives us 6,000 cubic meters, 1% of our water.
Mm-hmm.
The second one, again, the colonial government, 1928.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Ruiru Dam. Also a little bit of the water. Because the population was small. You know, you're talking about 50,000 people, 60,000. The third, which now started the big projects in 1958, thereabout, was Sasumwa in Nyandarua County. It gives us 60 million liters a day. And that served us for a good time. Mm-hmm. And in the 90s, the one good thing that happened, you know, of course it was pre-planned and it was supported, but still the city council did it, was Ndakaine. Ndakaine Dam now gives us 84% of our water. So if you calculate all of that, it comes to 525.6 million liters daily. Yeah? But Nairobi needs 870 million liters daily. So there's a backlog. I mean, there's a deficit that we must meet. The reason why is because the 1994 to 97 project was aiming to fulfill a water demand of the year 2002 of 2 million Nairobians. No one had planned forward. Mm-hmm. Yeah? And once it was filled, between that time and later, and now President Mwai Kibaki came in and he started a project that stalled for a long time, there was no plan.
Indeed.
On top of that, corruption and people working for the water service providers messing up the system to sell water through the bowsers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Now, Northern Collector Tunnel number one was the first project that came up. It's been stuck for so many years.
Mm-hmm.
I want to thank the president because I sat with him and told him, boss, we need to sort this out. Fortunately, he used to live in Karen.
Mm-hmm.
So he knew the problem of water in Karen.
Yeah.
Told him, boss, you know, the thing to sort this out is actually completing Northern One.
Yeah.
Northern One gives us 140 million liters additional to the 525 mm-hmm. that we have. And it just reduces the gap. So it's 15% now that we need to fill.
Yeah.
We worked on the way leaves. We worked with the National Land Commission. We put money in treasury together for the compensation on the guys on the way leaves. Today, it's 4 kilometers left. In two or so months, we'll get 140 million liters extra.
Right.
In the meantime, and many people will tell you, they've seen the connections being done. You know, the piping has been done. The French Development Agency gave us another 3 billion or so. The Africa Development Bank, there's what we've spent as Nairobi County through Nairobi Water Company, Athi Water. And so in a few months, in 2 or so months, we get 140 million more. That is not enough.
I actually wanted to say it's not enough.
It's not enough. As the governor, I went out to look for more money. The Koreans were giving us support as a country. There was, of course, everything going to the national government. And I sat with them and said, please, the biggest impact you'll make in East Africa is not just working with the national government. It's working with the capital of East Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And I negotiated to get $100 million to do Northern Collector 2 and Maragua 4. Northern Collector 2 and Maragua 4 are going to add 220 million liters.
Indeed.
And they're in support.
Indeed.
You know, in fact, we're just working out the technical arrangements between us, the National Treasury.
And this is public knowledge.
I mean, I'm on radio.
Yeah.
It's public. I wouldn't just reveal it, you know. And I've said it, and we're working on it. So 220 plus the 140.
Mm-hmm.
The third thing that we're doing, apart from Maragua 4, Northern Collector 2, completing Northern Collector 1, which is just 4 kilometers left, at Ngedu Water Treatment. And I'd love you one day, and I'd love to organize, that you help me. I can see you guys with fancy cameras to go through the water journey before it comes to Nairobi.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And we start in Ndakaine.
Yeah.
You go to Ngedhu. Ngedhu is in Gatundu North in Kiambu.
Yeah.
At Ngedhu, we have our water treatment. Let me tell you, once you see what the process it goes through to bring out, you'll drink from the tap. I promise you.
Indeed.
I promise you.
I can't remember the last time I did that.
Yeah.
I can't remember the last time.
And there's a lot of propaganda on social media. We see, oh, these pipes. Then if you Google that picture, you say, oh, this was in Sujui, Paraguay or somewhere. Uh-huh. But anyway, so at Ngedhu, we lose 30 million liters daily because of the filtration system. That's a backwash system.
Right.
That 30 million liters has to be lost in that process. You know, it goes into the soil and whatnot. It's let go of when we're the filtering it. Our engineers at Nairobi Water, who are great guys, have been able to come up with a project that's around 1.5 to 2B that then will add us 30 million more liters. So that's 220 plus 30. Whatever we're losing will come back. And that what 2 billion project is half of Sasumwa.
Indeed.
So another 30 will come back. So we have 220 plus 30 plus 140 in the next 3 years.
Totally, Gov. And I hear the amazing projects that are going on. But while all these processes are going on, right, we are still left at the mercy of cartels who are running the water and the bowser systems, unregulated.
No, they're regulated by the Athi Water Services, by Water Resources Board. Unfortunately, and you see, I hate to burst anyone's bubble. Unfortunately, there's no quick fix for the city. There's none. You know, decades of derelict and neglect and mismanagement cannot be sorted out in a year, cannot be sorted out in two. You know, a series of things have to be done. And even as you're sorting that out, that's why we're just about to, you know, and I've been talking to a few people, great Nairobians who've done good things for our city, Jim Nambaru, you know, such people. Yeah. We're putting together the Nairobi 2050 Task Force, Nairobi Vision 2050, so we don't get into the same mistake that was made. We must plan now another 30 years, another 50 years, and start doing it now and say, this is how the city is going to look like that time with a population of 10 million. These are the projects we must do. So I'll be very happy when I get to the 1 million liters in the next 3 or so years. I must plan for the next 3 million.
Indeed.
Or the next 2 million now.
Right.
You know, so there's no quick fix. We must sort all of that out. You know, boreholes, where people have put up boreholes, whether it's a lot of them are in Karen, you know, and on the west of Nairobi, they are drying up. The water table has gone down, especially when those in training. Mm. Last year we had our worst drought in 40 years,
yeah.
You know. And it's because of that. On the east side of Nairobi, and that's why I tell you there's no quick fixes. When NMS was there, they built 100 boreholes very happily.
Yeah.
But it was a mistake. Because on the east part of Nairobi, the World Health Organization sets the minimum, or rather the maximum level of fluoride in our water is 1.5 parts per million. The water on that side has up to 6-7 parts per million of fluoride.
Mm-hmm.
And so and you can't tell the people, use this water only for washing.
Mm-hmm.
And don't drink it. Mm-hmm. And so now the extra water that's coming, we must do, because the kids will have brittle bones,
exactly.
Teeth, Nakuru and whatnot. We don't want that in the city. Totally. And that's because of looking for quick fixes.
Right.
We cannot do that.
Long term, we're looking at some of the things that you're talking about, and we can fix it.
And that's medium term, it's 3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's another side of the conversation on actually the people who are putting up buildings, the construction, the developers and all these people.
Yeah.
Now, about 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, I remember having, there was a big story about building on riparian land and all these things. And the county government came out in full force to try and overturn these situations. We are back to the same conversation.
Makbul, we should stop thinking like villagers.
Mm.
If you're to destroy buildings on riparian, the first building you destroy in London is Westminster.
Mm-hmm.
It's right at the Thames.
Mm-hmm.
In Paris, you'd have to bring down, you know, the presidential palace.
Mm-hmm.
Rivers are not things to be away from. They're things that give a city its character, you know? Mm-hmm. And that is why, and I'm very happy on Monday we have a session with the president and the Rivers Commission. Before the president was sworn in, I took my friend Mumu Musuba from the planning house. Mm-hmm. A discussion we've been having for 11 years on the history of Nairobi and its rivers and what needs to be done. Now, what happened, and this is just part of our history, when the colonialists came to the city, they used our physical features to segregate the city.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? And so they created buffers between them in the higher areas and the poor people in the valleys,
mm-hmm.
and they created what they called the green areas. If you look at the 1948 master plan of Nairobi,
mm-hmm.
those are what became slums. In most cities, the rivers are the frontage of the city.
Mm-hmm.
In Nairobi, the rivers are hidden. And that is why all the rivers, Madare River, Ngong River, Nairobi River, all flow through the slums. Because that was what it was. We must change that narrative. And that is why, before he was sworn in, I took Mumu and a team from Planning House at Karen when he was still there. They did a presentation and showed what we must do with the rivers. It's been done in Africa. The closest example is Addis Ababa with the Sega River project. Yeah, to regenerate it, to create walkways, and NMTs to clean the river from the source. Nairobi River starts from Mundiri. Remember, the heritage of Nairobi was a place of cool waters.
Green city in the sun.
The place of cool waters, the Maasai name.
Indeed.
You know, my Maasai relas
used
to say, in fact, you know, State House was the Manyata of the Laibon.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the white, let me not say that. The Mzungu, the colonists took that place symbolically to show they were defeated us.
Yeah.
Because that was our ancestors' place.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And the reason they'd come to Nairobi was because of the environment. And it's not a coincidence that this is an environmental capital.
Mm-hmm.
So we must change that story. And I told the president, we can't do a cleanup. Mm-hmm. It's not a cleanup. It's a, first of all, a philosophical change of how we see the river. Not something to be hidden, something to be embraced. And so starting from Undiri, looking at Ngong River, looking at Madare River, across, we've mapped out 469 communities, community groups, that are taking care of their different sections. We regenerate the river and clean it, and then create, you know, river frontage.
Yeah,
yeah. You should go have a coffee by the river, In fact, in Nairobi, people run away from the river. Mm. They land near the river because it smells.
Exactly.
Because it's dirty.
Yeah.
In other places, that's the most expensive real estate that you go for. Yeah. And so that process is ongoing. Because I took them there and he saw it, he got excited. In his inaugural speech, he told me, put that paragraph on the Nairobi Rivers Commission. Mm-hmm. We created a commission that now has even the military involved,
right.
Nairobi County involved. KRA has been able to provide for us shippers who are going to give us 200 containers to get those community centers. So the people themselves take ownership of it. The first project we are doing as a county is to create those NMTs. If you look, for instance, from Kamkunji to Westlands, if people could walk along the river, it cuts that journey by like hours.
Right.
Because it's just 1 kilometer.
Right.
Then from Westlands through Riverside all the way to Waidhaka.
Yeah.
Naivasha. Naivasha Road. Yeah. Or Naivasha up in Waidhaka after Kawangware.
Yeah.
Let people walk there. Let people cycle over there. Create that path.
Right.
If you look, for instance, from Ngomongo in Ruaraka to Kasarani, where we're going to do the BRT station, and I'll talk about that when we go to transport.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a short distance along the river. But we make people walk crazy distances, try to use buses, try to use matatus.
Yeah.
And so we must see it as a resource to begin with. So that work is ongoing.
Right.
We'll be very happy. And on Monday, we're having a meeting, not just Nairobi and the national government, but also the Rivers Commission. So that's part of what we're doing. And we want corporates now, guys, to say, look, I'm going to take this section.
Yeah.
And I'll take care of this section. We'll help you plant trees. We'll do constructed wetlands, etc., on our river. So it's not a cleanup that we need.
No.
It's a change of mindset and something that must be continuous along our rivers.
Let's come back and discuss more on that. And, of course, the construction of Nairobi as we're seeing it, as it's developing every single day. And the legality of some of these things that are happening, the permits. We've seen a lot of people losing their plots, losing their houses because they didn't build on the right places. But
that's a long story.
Let's come back to that in a short while. Right now, 9:84 in the morning. Hit us up. Questions, queries. We have Nairobi City County Governor Johnson Arthur Sakaja with us, and blessed to have him through until 9:00. Questions, queries. He's a man who has all the answers.
No.
Yeah. So let's get into it. But right now, the news headlines and, of course, sports.
In Capital Newsbeat this hour.
Gashagwa to review measures against illicit brews and substance abuse. State releases monthly stipend for community health promoters. And Haiti PM Ariel Henry in Puerto Rico as gang violence continues.
More in Capital Newsbeat.
Capital Sports Update, where sports is taken seriously.
All right, so I probably should be telling you what happened, but you heard it from Angela Muiruri, the butchered version. Kenyan boxer Reyton Okwiri, you know, promising the Tanzanian opponent Meshack Mwankwembwa how he'll chapai him, 100% sure of it, 10-round bout, that's happening on the 23rd of this month, 2 days after my birthday, and I have, you know, a plan for it. What's the plan? The plan is to start a cause. I heard the governor helps causes 5 times more than what you ask for, so I'm just asking for a random 10K for my cause, birthday cause.
You stop looking for Jobo and finish.
No, I'm just looking for money, so feel free. Speaking of the governor, we'll get to him in just a second. Quick one. Here's a query, and then we'll hear what his counterpart, you know, the usual threats.
Najisi vyema, kiafya, kiakili, na pia technically niko, naweza sema niko sawa manake, nimekuwa nikitrain continuous. Tangu last year, mwezi wa tisa, tangu nimalize kucheza ile game, nimekuwa tu nikitrain. So, mi kazi yangu most of the time wanga tu nitrain. Nikiamuka asubuhi shughuli yangu watu nitrain. So, naweza sema mi niko shape, na ngoja tu hiyo siku ifike, tucheze game, tuvunje mtanzania, arudi kwao.
Yep, promises, promises. His counterpart?
Ni mpinzani mzuri, lakini ni kawaida sana. Ukilinganisha na mabondia nilokutana nao mimi. Mimi nimecheza international fighter nyingi sana duniani. Nimepigana na mabondia wakali sana ambao kidunia ni kwenye linking zao, yani sidhani kama naweza kafika. Lakini hivyo ni bondia tu ambaye naomba tu ajiandae vizuri kwa sababu mimi ni bondia ambaye sio bondia kunibeza. Bondia ambaye nimefanya maandalizi vizuri. Kwa nina uhakika na hii fight kiufupi.
And then I could go on and tell you about Anthony Joshua and his promoter talking about that showdown with Tyson Fury if they both win their fights, and Joshua meeting with Francis Ngannou on Friday night, blah, blah, blah. But instead, I want to use this time to ask 2 questions to the governor. Yes, let's call it Sakaja Day. Here's my first question. It concerns sports, obviously. question number one, questions. Let me just throw them at you.
Oh,
one, City Stadium, what's the plan? Gor Mahia have no home.
Yes.
It's just a mess. No one is leading us forward. board. And then secondly, Douglas Wakihuri Street. It goes up, the sign, it's taken down. Okay. It goes up, it's taken down. What's the plan?
City Stadium is great heritage for Nairobi. I remember my dad taking me there when he was you know, one of the AFC Leopards guys. We have a contract on site. We're redoing it. We've renamed it Joe Kadenge Stadium. Uh-huh. Yeah, and of course, Joe Kadenge was AFC Leopards, but he's a national, you know, hero.
Yeah, a national hero.
And we're going to put his statue there, just like Thierry Henry's in at the Emirates Stadium. So that work is ongoing. We've put 850 million shillings as Nairobi, just to redo City Stadium and to reclaim that heritage. And the other day when the president was launching this one at Talanta City,
yeah,
I asked them also to chip in from the sports fund, and that's going to happen. Douglas Wakihuri, and he was on that function as well last weekend.
Yeah.
You know, the problem is when you rename roads without proper process. Yeah.
Okay.
And so it comes up, it goes down, and there are a number of roads we're renaming, including Chris Kirubi Lane, you know, just next to International Lifehouse, which I promised before I became governor, and a few others. Issa, you know, Issa the Great in South Sea.
Yep,
to rename the hip-hop artist, and many others. And we're going to actually ask Nairobians to suggest people that like to be renamed, especially from the roads whose names don't mean much to us.
Yeah.
You know, we just have you know, Farasi or something. You know, let's have names that mean something to Kenyans. That process will be open to the public. Then it'll go through the assembly, and then we shall get it done. But we must remember those heroes and give them their flowers, especially those who can still smell them, like Douglas.
Absolutely. Any time limit of the City Stadium thing?
Yes. It's a few months out, possibly 4 or 5 months. Because it's extensive work that we're doing. It's not just the football part. We're doing extended use, basketball, netball, you know, an entire complex around, especially the land that was grabbed, you know, around it, reclaiming it for the people of Nairobi.
Good stuff, good stuff. Listen, and if you are...
So which cause is this that you want us to...
It's my birthday, bro, 21st.
Your birthday is not a cause.
It is a cause. It is a good cause that has shown the world, because you should listen to this show whenever I'm not on air. When I'm not around, sports really sounds...
I waited for Makbul to come back. So.
Low blow, by the way.
No.
Yeah, he's the blue-eyed boy of the company right now.
No,
without
no, no.
me, the breakfast but, show sounds horrible. It's just as it is.
No, but I mean, we've always loved Capital.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
And every series of hosts have been amazing. Farid was amazing.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's the original Capital. Of course, Farid was there before
it's
and came
Mac
back.
Bull,
but Makbul, man.
Makbul is something different.
And I hope Adrian is still around on Friday.
Oh, yes. Friday flight. Can't miss that one.
Amazing.
Governor Sakaja there giving us information, by the way, when you finally name my road, please spell it correctly, C-H-I-K-O-L-A-W-I. Chico Lawi, not C.
Okay, just find a nice place in Korogosho
that connects
to...
That's the hood I'm willing to... I grew up there for a bit.
And we must change those areas. Yes. That's I was talking about the rivers.
There we go. So you heard about City Stadium. You also heard about Douglas Wakihuri. That's being worked on.
And many people. Eliud Kipchoge.
A
lot of
our
artists.
Kiptum
who passed on.
Yes.
Young man who was already making serious moves across the world. Just to recognize them. And so we want to democratize that process. So it's not who knows who.
But I love that.
To democratize and open it. Okwiri, talking about his match.
I
used to be the patron of the Kenya Professional Boxing Commission. And I remember I really supported him and Zarika and all of those. I really miss them. And so I'm going to support him on this fight.
Well, we'll be there for that fight. And he wins. If he doesn't,
he
I'm not Tanzanian. I really don't care. Either way, thank you to Sakaja. And you're welcome, people listening to Capital FM, because as usual, I make the interviews more fun. You're welcome. That's Chico. That's sports. I'll see you at 12:30.
Capital Sports Update. Up to the minute sports, where sports is taken seriously.
98.4 Capital FM.
Flow, we studio na wave ka mixa dema kufu vila na bounce kwa hit track ukipenda hala chuchu jiwe mayoyo hey we got the nunu I'm in love with my city boss I'm going cuckoo hey hini ya mademu wale ukulenga mtani mkikutana Nairobi wana wave kwa mbali luku luku ni ya wathi utadhani tamfoda saya kinenge shika mavanga sanfoda hey niko itama pararira kanganya big up my hustlers wanaotamak my foreigners wale makwa wamehama machoko shwale jiji kwa opia ni mama I'm keeping it real keeping it local I'm so raw original flow though and I Nairobi ay 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 it's magic when I'm on the mic I'm saying ay ay ay
ain't no city ain't no city
Capital FM.
The historians bringing us to 10 minutes to the top of the hour. Luke's historians. Where did these chaps go? It's been a minute, huh?
Yeah.
Listen, it's all about Nairobi. It's all about the green city in the sun, formally. But getting back is what we are hearing from our Nairobi governor. We have Johnson Sagaja with us. Please send those questions, queries, and questions coming in hot and strong. What goes into consideration before building a building permit is granted in Nairobi? What's the process, if you don't mind taking us through? Does the county conduct actual site visits before issuing building permits?
Okay. Yes, the Physical Planning and Land Use Act prescribes the steps that need to be taken before approvals are granted. Mm-hmm. We've digitized all these processes, and so including your rate payments, your business permits, we've unified them into one, and building permits, you know, *647# or nairobiservices.go.ke. You go on there, and your planner or your architect, you know, the professional you've enlisted, uploads, you know, your project, what you want to do. There's a urban planning technical committee that sits every week. And when they sit down, they look at whether it matches the latest, you know, building code. And that's part of the problem, and I'll address it.
Yeah.
And so they look at the plot ratio, the heights allowed, etc., and they give you a response, you know. And so it's a process that I've tried to also democratize. I've included the resident associations, the Institute of Engineers, the Architectural Association, you know, sit on that committee. It's not just Kanjo people.
Yeah.
You know, we've added all of these other people.
Yeah.
And they sit there in the committee. In fact, the chair is a non county person, you know, normally. It's not a requirement in the law. It's just something we did, you know, just to help the residents be part of ETTC. Mm-hmm. Of course, most residents, the first thing to do is to say no, is to object.
Right.
Because people have nostalgia and they don't want their estate to change. They don't want their areas to change. Mm-hmm. And that's understandable.
Totally.
You know,
there's
what you love. You know, you remember going to Mama Nani's house across and,
exactly.
you know, and so you don't want that to change.
Yeah.
And so they consider all of those issues and then they make decisions. Mm-hmm. Now, this is an area that for a long time has been extremely, extremely abused. And there's been a lot of corruption. Because if you look at the last building, you know, code for the city, which is the 2006 plan, places like Ileleshwa were four floors max. You know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But of course, we've seen what's happened from 2006. You know, I didn't get elected and come with all these buildings. You know,
right.
They've all got, I mean, even Air Center, what height is that?
Exactly.
You know, and so all of these things changed. And so now, what we've sent to the assembly is a new development control guidelines, the urban planning land use guidelines, and policy. Generally, number two is the development of a proper planning framework for Nairobi. Yeah, and we've been able to get resources for that through the Millennium Challenge Corporation, $60 million, mm-hmm. to do area plans, because all of these other processes, the new plan that was done, were a framework on how to plan, and so you need to do localized area plans. During NMS time, they had tendered for around 6 area plans: Airport North, Road Area, Woodley, etc. But it never got done. Because of resources. But now we have gotten the $60 million for that and for transport
right.
in the threshold program. Once that is done in 12 months, then we now do the compact program.
Yeah.
And so you'll be able to know and to predict, because business and investment needs predictability.
Exactly.
Combined with the Vision 2050 process, you'll know that this area for the next X number of years will look like this.
I think the best example would be Upper Hill and how it was done.
Yeah.
And how now Upper Hill is more a business center than anything else.
It morphed into that.
Exactly. Yeah. But these four-story places that we're talking about,
these
restricted areas, have they been de-zoned to make sure that, you know,
that's part
all
of
these
what
big buildings that are coming up are actually in the right place.
So part of what we're doing and was done in 2015, but that mainly focused on Eastlands, is the regularization of developments.
Right.
You know, because a lot of developments were done through a regularization. I mean, were put up without having come through that approval process, without being certified by the county and accepted. But now, after they've been done, you know, people or put up, people don't come now and regularize them. So we're doing a regularization process, but also making sure that, you know, in the next few months, there is actually a clear plan. The problem has been planning, you know. The other day, we had a fire in Embakasi. People said, no, you know, we've encroached into, you know, that industries have encroached to where people are. But if you look at the 1976 plan, that was an industrial area, you know. And of course, it was not supposed to have such a plant.
At all.
It was not supposed to have such
such
a plant there. There are different mandates between national government and county government. And so, you know, energy and gas and all that is regulated elsewhere. But you said, look, as Nairobi, even if you have that license from, you know, EPRA, we will not allow you to do that 200 meters near a residential area.
Yeah.
So those are the challenges. You know, they've been all these years. So what do we go demolish all the apartments in Kileleshwa or Kilimani or Lavington? Do we demolish them? Or do we say, okay, this is a reality we're grappling with. Let's build the needed infrastructure, the sewer and the water, and rezone these areas.
Right.
Because we can't cry over spilt milk. We must think forward. We
Indeed.
Must think ahead.
Indeed.
And now not just think short term, but think 2050 and beyond for the city.
Right. Because there are some of them that are still going up. In fact, where I live, there's one that is still being constructed right now. It's 12 stories going up.
That's amazing.
And the biggest problem is,
they should do 20.
Well in in terms of urbanization. But then again, these guys are working from 5 o'clock in the morning all the way to 10 o'clock in the evening.
And you see, that is wrong. They shouldn't, because the restrictions. However, sometimes, because at certain parts of a construction, you need extra time when you're doing the setting of the floors. You see, they get a permit from NEMA. And so they should be able to display that when you get the special permit at different times of the stages of construction to work later hours or weekends. And that also must involve a process of public participation. The problem is that
I've never been asked. I don't even know where to find this information.
They'll
to be told public participation.
Exactly, because they do it the old way. So they'll put a notice in the ward admin's office or the sub-county. I'm sure you don't know your ward admin's office, you know. And that's information we must give people.
Exactly.
So they'll put it up there. And then you call for public participation in your area.
Right.
The people who come are many times not the people who live there. So these developers will call they'll mobilize, you know, so they'll use the MCA or someone to, you know, just bring me 20 people, 30 people. So it's become an academic process.
Indeed.
And so those are some of the things we're changing. We're the only county government that has a minister in charge of public participation, citizen engagement, and customer service.
What are we doing to curb this? Because now we have associations from not only Nairobi, but we have associations from different people in different countries
educating,
coming in and having this.
Educating. And we must embrace that.
Right.
Because Kenya is a global capital. I suppose we're complaining that there's a Chinese Development Association. You should be happy. And as for the Nigerian one, and as for the Kenyan one, and as for the Rwandese one, this is a global capital. You know, people should wake up.
It's a metropolis.
It's a metropolis.
Right.
You know, and we want these investments to come here. Mm. We want these investors to come here. But they must follow the rules.
They must respect the law.
Now, the problem has been that, and the Bible says, for without the law, there is no transgression.
Indeed.
You know, that there has not been a proper master plan for the city since 1976.
Mm-hmm.
There has not been a proper framework on how these developments should be done. So we're playing catch up, but we hope and we plan to, through this MCC process and through the development control policy that we've put in and land use planning that we've put in, to have a clear set. Everyone should know these are the rules. These are the guidelines. These are the charges. This is what I need to run a business. This is what I need to put up a building. And those are the processes we're doing.
Let's talk quickly about infrastructure.
Yeah.
We spoke about the fact that we're still using a blueprint back from 1970s, right?
76.
How are we changing this? Because right now...
The blueprint now.
And I can assume when you're coming in, massive traffic everywhere. Did you do the sirens and tackle the traffic?
No,
Kenyans are facing this every single morning.
Yeah,
are facing it.
You know. I'm very happy where we are because I have to drop my kids first, and then I do whatever else comes in the day.
Yeah,
and so it's on the same road where I drop my kids at Aga Khan.
Yeah.
There's huge traffic, and the reason for the traffic is that we don't have a reliable public transport system. Public service and public transport is very private. It's in private hands. The only public thing about it is the roads and the people.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is why we are putting huge investment on our BRT projects, bus rapid transit.
Mm-hmm.
We are thinking of the metro system. We've interested different people. I was in Paris talking to the French government because they have given 3 billion euros to Abidjan to do a metro. And I said, look, if you guys are looking at Anglophone and moving from Francophone, we need one line, at least to start with one line along Thika Road going all the way to Rongai, you know, on the metro. So there are five lines of the BRT. Line one is being done by the national government and the budgetary allocations have been put. Line two has funding. Line three from Dandora all the way to Tungong area is being supported by the European Investment Bank and the French Development Agency. They put 74 million euros into it. What was missing was a cabinet memo just to revive that process, and I'm glad the national government is sorting that out. And so that is being done by Namata. In Namata, the chair of the Council of Namata is the Minister for Transport. I'm the vice chair of the Council of Namata, and we revive these processes that are just plans. So, I mean, I have friends in places like New York or London.
Indeed.
Wealthy people who don't own cars because the transport is reliable.
Exactly.
And, so we must put resources and time on mass transit, and that is what we're doing. We've made tremendous progress in the last 1.5 years towards that. But again, as I told you, there is no quick fix. It must be done systematically.
And
we must continue to plan forward.
You are a man who has a lot on his plate. We're coming back in a short while talking more. Nairobi City County Governor.
Yeah.
Johnson Sakaja,
by the way, don't even rush. I'm here.
Yeah,
I'll answer all the questions if you have time.
He's here. He's not going anywhere. Time, Sometimes it's difficult to know how I'm addressing you because you're my boy as well.
Yeah,
so it's difficult.
Axis, yeah, you know.
Listen, let's get into the news right now. Find out exactly what is happening. Come back real quick. We'll be right back. Billy Abel, I love it. Bringing us to about 7 minutes past 9 o'clock, 20 Nairobi, the city in the sun, cool waters, as they used to call it.
As it will get back to.
As it will get back to.
It must.
The promise.
Lazima iwak.
Lazima iwak.
Yeah, lazima. Yeah.
Right. Questions coming in hard and strong. He's promised to be here.
I'm here.
And we're actually off air. We're just chatting.
Yeah.
And we're saying, can we do this monthly?
So I'd love to.
We just answer some of these questions because we can't yeah. talk about this in
the
city an hour.
Is too important and totally. There must be accountability. Mm-hmm. And so we can have the Nairobi update every so often. And
right.
I'll be so happy to just keep coming and saying, yeah, I spoke about this last time.
Yeah.
This is where we've gotten to.
Exactly.
This is what we're doing now. I'd love such a platform.
I love the word accountability, like you've said.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
we've spoken about so many things in terms of planning and forthcoming.
Yeah.
So it would be nice to come back and yeah. talk about them as well.
And it'd be also nice to come and say what we've actually been able to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in 1.5 years, man, we've done
yeah.
a lot.
Yeah.
You know, our revenue. People used to complain that you have 6-7 licenses for the city.
No.
I promised to do a unified business permit. We now have one license.
Fantastic.
You know, the UBP is done.
Yeah.
We've digitized all revenue streams. In my first year in office, I raised the highest revenue in 5 years. And this financial year, I've already surpassed last year by 1.5 billion,
mm-hmm.
you know, in terms of the time of the year that we're in. Mm-hmm. Land rates. People can pay from the comfort of their homes. Star 647. And now I'm going to publish people's LR's number kwa gazette.
Exactly.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Because there's 5.7 billion out there that's never been built.
Right.
You know, we're getting into sectional properties.
Right.
If you own an apartment, you need to start getting, you need to get your sectional title and start paying your portion of rates. Because imagine, like the people complaining in, or rather with concerns in a place like Kileleshwa.
Mm.
One plot of land has one house on 1/2 acre.
Mm-hmm.
The next one has 80 apartments.
Mm-hmm.
Why would they pay the same rates?
Indeed.
These people need more water connections, more CYTC.
Exactly.
And if you don't do your sectional title, on that lease of yours or the RDA, the document you have, when the lease expires, the reversionary interest goes back to the owner. You lose your property.
Mm-hmm.
So together the national government was starting a campaign to move people into the sectional titles. Get your title deed for your flat. You know?
Right.
Your portion of the value of your apartment, you pay 0.015% only.
Mm-hmm.
If it's over 20 million flat, that's like 2K a month. You know, but when everybody does that, because all these things you're talking about need to be resourced.
Indeed.
Yes, I've increased our revenue. This year will be the highest in the history of Nairobi. Yes.
Right.
But it's not enough, you know.
Right.
And so long as people see the value of what they're paying for, that yes, there's a new connection. Yes, you know, the most amazing thing, there's so many kids who've been out of school in Nairobi because of hunger. No one knew that. All interventions towards feeding have been going to the nomadic areas.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the institution in the national government that is concerned with feeding kids is called NACONEC, Nomadic Education Trust or something.
Mm-hmm.
But urban poverty bites more. And when I got into office, you know, something happened when I was a senator. After COVID, I went to donate some desks when I was a senator in Kawangware, Gatina Primary, in Kinyanjui Road. And when I went there and asked the kids, you know, normally you ask the kids, oh, what do you guys want? They want sweets, you want a bus, what? They said, well, we want food.
I don't
know, tells you that as a parent.
Yeah.
You know, it really hurts.
Totally.
And so I tried to do it in Senate. I brought the National School Lunch Act. It didn't work out. I said, as governor, I'm going to work and make sure we do it. I've built 10 kitchens so far.
Mm-hmm.
We're feeding 184,000 children every day at 5 shillings.
Wow.
Every single day. Enrollment has gone up. Crazy.
Wow.
There are schools like Kaolewana. So when I went to inspect the kitchen, there's a Mabati structure because of increased enrollment. Enrollment is now, you know, attendance is 100%. Plus,
wow,
in those schools, and just at 5 shillings. So now we're putting together a governance framework around it.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to put a board out there with private sector and everybody. So you as a Kenyan can say, okay, I'm going to adopt a child for a month.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to pay lunch for a child for a year. I hope the PwCs and the Ernst & Youngs and Deloitte of this world will come and say, we're going to audit this fund so that you know your money is being used properly.
Yes.
And let's keep this kid. So there are many things that we've been able to do. Nairobi did not have an ICU, Makul. There was no public ICU in Nairobi. Kenyatta is a national hospital.
Exactly.
And it's referral. You can only get there by referral.
Totally.
We've done already the first ICU at Mama Lucy. We've done ICU now at Mbagathi. NICU, neonatal ICU for kids who are preterm. We've been able to do that. I changed the management of hospitals. They used to be run by a medical superintendent who's a doctor who's just made senior to the other doctors. I said, no, you need somebody who thinks like a businessman, end to end, from the time a customer comes to the gate to the time that is charged, the customer service, is the place clean, are the facilities okay? And I introduce CEOs. I have five CEOs for Pumwani Hospital, Mbagathi Hospital, Mama Lucy Hospital, and Mutuini Hospital. And those CEOs have transformed those places just by thinking wholesomely.
Exactly.
You know, so there's a lot that is actually happening that we need to be able to keep updating the people of Nairobi.
It's a perfect segue to some of the questions that are coming in. Abongo Victor asks, Uliza Governor, if he is aware of the medics who missed posting the latest healthcare workers employed by the CPSB of Nairobi, yet they have appointment letters.
County Public Service Board. So what happened during NMS time, NMS, which is a different entity, hired doctors on contract. The contract was with NMS. As the contracts were expiring, I told these doctors, guys, apply to the County Public Service Board for me to hire you as a Nairobi County worker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because we're the staff that were there. NMS was for 2 years.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, biomedical engineers applied, nurses applied, some doctors applied. But they took us to court and stopped their own appointment. The KMPDU took us to court and they stopped their own process of appointment. So, yes, it is true. But unfortunately for them, they lost the case. So I'm telling them, come back to the table and apply properly. We'll hire you. We need you.
How is that conversation going?
I mean, I told them, you guys, don't destroy the goodwill that we have said.
Mm-hmm.
That I've said, yes, I need you in our hospitals. I'm going to absorb you. And you must work your 40 hours a week.
Yeah.
We can't have the situation that was there back then when a doctor would be in his private clinic and not in our hospitals. And many of our doctors are amazing, amazing people.
Yeah.
But the union took us to court. So how do we hire you when you stopped the process? It's impossible.
Right.
You know, always have good. And that time I told them, look, I'm the chairman of labor at the COG. I was the chairman that time. I was chair of labor at the Senate. Look at your other cadres. And so many of them, the clinical officers, say, no, as you're not part of that court case, because the courts are not always the way to resolve our issues. Indeed. Calm down, let's sit.
Sit around the table available. And have a discussion, yeah.
You know,
right.
We need more nurses.
Right.
You know, the 19 facilities that were put up during, the previous administration that are not, you know, they just holds. They don't have medics, they don't have nurses, they don't have equipment. We need you there in those facilities.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
So please, let's come back to the table. We're willing to put you on board. We'll put the budget for it because you must have money to pay for it.
Right.
Yeah.
It would be remiss for me to go on without acknowledging the shame that is this in Iceland, so to speak.
Yeah.
And this is pipeline.
Yeah.
It's a shame that we have to talk about a situation of that nature and how human beings are living.
Yeah.
In that environment, it has been spoken about.
Yeah.
In length. Yeah. These are projects that were before your time.
Mm-hmm.
But what is being done now?
Let me just use that to talk about the wider issue on solid waste management, because part of the problem there is the kind of developments that are put up and the lack of a process through which we can make sure the place is clean, make sure, you should see someone moving into a housing pipeline. The sofa is pulled up by a rope through the window, dismantled,
people
and whatnot.
People walk with torches in the middle of the day.
Yeah, because of how people built. Now, do we pull down those houses or do we look at the structural integrity and try to regularize those houses? And that's why I was talking about regularization. Some of those, that are still, can have some amend, you can make some amends on the structural integrity should be done.
Yeah.
It's a process we started with the Building Inspectorate under the Ministry of Lands, because that's where the BI is domiciled, together with the county engineers. Around 600 buildings were identified that need some interventions in Ruma, Madare, as well as pipeline. And we've told them what they need to do. The regularization, bill, even as it goes on, we can use regulations on the Physical Land Use, Planning Act. Mm-hmm. But solid waste management, Makbul, let me tell you. The last time environmental officers were hired in Nairobi was when I was a kid in the 80s.
Wow.
Today, before I did what I did late last year,
yeah,
a place like Embakasi East, Utawala, Tumihango, Tudonhom, all that area.
Yeah.
Had just 4 elderly ladies who sweep the place.
No way.
They were hired when they were young, and now they're about to retire. And so I said, the first thing we need to do, it's a city of 5 million people. You can't have, the last time environmental officers are hired is in the 80s.
Hmm.
We've hired already 2,500 young people that we call the Green Army.
Hmm.
And the next 1,000 have come in. The good thing with them is that because they're entry level, it's not so expensive, but Nairobi is a service city.
Exactly.
It's a service city.
Yeah.
And that's why, for most part, when there was El Nino, there was no flooding in Nairobi.
Yeah.
because they were clearing the drainages, they were clearing the, you know, trenches. And if you have not seen them, you probably don't live in Nairobi. You see guys in green with their overalls, you know, and picking it up. And people say, okay, so why do they pick it up and put it on the side of the road?
Right.
You know, they must put it there to dry because they're being put in trucks. And so the weight, when the stuff is wet, will be, you know, you can't because you'll carry very little. So it must dry so that it's compressible. You put it in the trucks and they go to Dandora. For the first time, we have signed and awarded the waste to energy project in Dandora. It's been awarded to China National Electric and Engineering Company. Mm-hmm. They bid. We put it out there. It was a year-long process. We got specially permitted procurement procedure. We put it out there, request for proposals, expression of interest. And in 2.5 years, because they're about to, groundbreak, we'll have an energy plant that produces 45 megawatts for Nairobi Power from our waste. So that when the waste starts being seen as a resource, my friend, people will be fighting to get it off the streets.
Right.
So these things, many of the things I'm talking about are because of decades of neglect that we must sort out as we move forward.
Going forward.
You know, and move now to material recovery facilities, looking at a circular economy in terms of garbage, converting some of the organic waste from markets into, you know, like those kitchens I'm talking about, the kitchens we've built. Mm. We even have the biggest kitchen in Africa through our partners, you know, 60,000 plates a day. Right. These small ones in the different constituencies do 10,000 meals per day. You know, but they're using green fuel. You know, the briquettes are from the waste in our markets.
Right.
That's what we're using to actually cook.
Right.
So that is happening. And once you start doing that consistently, when you sweep every day, when the green army is there every day, when the, you know, garbage is being collected every day, then the city becomes clean. It just doesn't become clean by maybe waving a magic wand.
Exactly.
No.
Exactly. No. The rains are with us.
Yeah.
We've been talking about, oh, it's really, really hot now.
Yeah.
As of last night, it's raining and it's raining heavily.
Yes.
We know there are some spaces where it's going to be flooding in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
What are we doing about that in terms of capturing especially the rainwater as well?
First of all, you know, it must be, and we're putting it in our code, that you must have water harvesting at the domestic level, you know. It is not for me to capture the water for you. In your house, you know, you must be able to do that. Now, the physical infrastructure of our drainage in the city is designed for a certain capacity, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, and I was giving an example, Makbul, you know, the drainage in your house works.
Mm-hmm.
Your sink works, mm-hmm. isn't it? But if you pour a whole bucket of water at a go, it'll flood.
Totally.
Then it'll settle.
Exactly.
So do we spend $10 billion expanding that infrastructure for events that happen twice a year?
Mm-hmm.
Or do we use it for that transport and for sorting out our roads? It's about prioritization.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, during that time, if we continue with our kids, unclogging the drainage, we must invest in what is needed every single day. Instead of putting undue resources on something that happens infrequently,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
But just making sure that, and we must stop illegal dumping, man. Because what do we get from those drains? It's trash that you and I have thrown at the wrong place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're putting up the bins, we're putting up the skips, but it's trash you and I throw. Yeah. The other day I was in Kawes at a market, and this lady says, "Oh, Sakaja, mbona hapa ni chafu?" She sells mangoes and oranges. She's talking to me about mango and orange peels outside her stall. I asked her, "Mom, mimi ni siniako. Like, have I come with it? Why are you asking me?" You know, if everyone swept outside their house,
right,
the place would be clean. So we must, not just there's haki yako, but there's also wajibu wako.
Exactly.
There's your rights, but also there's your responsibility.
Responsibility.
When you're driving and you throw away a banana peel on the road, or a piece of, you know, a packet of plastic, you know, paper for your crisps, will you blame that on Sakaja?
Mm.
So we do our part, but also as citizens, you know, I keep saying, look, I campaigned and said, let's make Nairobi work. I did not say, let Sakaja make Nairobi
Let
work.
Me make Nairobi
Let
work.
Us all, we must all, in our different spheres of influence, in our different areas, as citizens, and we must start seeing ourselves as citizens of Nairobi, not just residents.
Indeed.
That you're just passing by, Apana. We must own this place. And everyone do their part. My work is to provide the leadership and to facilitate the opportunities for everyone to contribute to this great city of ours.
We're putting the governor on task, questions, queries, as well, his responsibility when he comes back is to entertain us as well. Community karaoke is coming up.
Ah, come on.
He used to be a rapper.
Used to is the key word.
My guy, we've paid top dollar. He's here with us. But first, the business news.
Capital Business News.
In the headlines, Bombers under EACC radar over irregular tender awarded to CIC Insurance, and Isuzu wins UD truck distributor deal in Kenya. The Ethics and Anti-Corruption Commission has initiated an inquiry into irregular tender awards and embezzlement of funds allegations against the Bombers of Kenya. EACC had received an allegation that Bombers had irregularly awarded the general property and work injury insurance cover tender to CIC General Insurance Limited during the financial years of 2020 to 2022. Evidence revealed that the tender was awarded in violation of procurement laws. Consequently, the renewal clause for the tender in the subsequent financial year could not be executed and no proper procurement process was followed for renewal. Vehicle manufacturer Isuzu East Africa has won the UD Trucks distributors deal, giving the company selling rights to the Japanese heavy vehicles locally. After the signing of the agreement, production, sales, and after-sales support for UD Trucks will now fall under the purview of Isuzu. Isuzu East Africa Managing Director Rita Kavashe says that collaboration will create additional jobs for Kenyans as well as accelerate the country's economic expansion.
UD Trucks will be here for the long haul. We have been here for 45 years. We believe we'll be here with UD Trucks for 100 years because our economies are beginning to grow. Urbanization is critical. Logistics and transportation will be the game changer in our environment. Everything will need to move. Africa is growing, 1.3 billion people.
With official sales expected to begin in the second half of 2024, the Kenyan automaker has lined up two assembly locations in Mombasa and Thika for local assembly of vehicles. And finally, Botswana will soon engage Kenya to lobby for the exemption of its citizens from the East African country's electronic travel authorization requirement. Botswanan President Mogwitsi Masisi said on Monday that ETA, a semi-automated system that determines eligibility of visitors to travel to Kenya, has imposed unexpected costs on some Botswanan citizens wishing to travel to Kenya. He promised to engage his Kenyan counterpart, William Ruto, during the soon-to-be-announced official engagements about the possibility of reviewing ETA requirements before travel. For more on these and other stories, dial *411*26#.
Capital Business News. 98.4 Capital FM. Sing your heart out with Capital's Community Karaoke.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. Come on. You're going to make me do this.
Twende kazi.
Hey, senior nafaa kuwa na deputy, pedi yako wana zori na pedigree. In fact, unafaa kusimama ni keti. Gava ita sanyi hata mabadha vibeti. Mwizi anapunguza jama kidedi. Rapa wasemi. Hakuna mtu wasema ukweli. Mitazi me ti mina chafua zazi ko down sit ko tua.
Wait, I have a new career, man. Going back in time.
Oh man.
That is the sound of none other than Nairobi City County Governor. Our very own Johnson Sakaja is with us, and we have to let him go at some point. But questions are coming in endlessly. People are waiting for the next, of course, time that we're going to come in. You'll check your calendar, and of course, we'll do this monthly. We've agreed that we're going to do this monthly.
And you know, we can make it more interactive. That we collect concerns. You know, when Nairobi works, Kenya works.
Yeah.
And that is why I am I really am passionate about this place. I was born here. I know what Nairobi can be.
Yeah.
And so let's put those things together, and then let's start also working together. That yes, this is what we're doing. What can you also do about this?
Exactly.
You know, and this is how we are accountable for what you've given us. So let's make it monthly or quarterly, whatever period we decide on. Yeah. I'm going to put it in the diary and I'm going to always commit to it.
May I have an idea? Shall we do monthly barazas on ground as well and call people?
You know, let me tell you, you need to come with me to the ground and see exactly. And see what happens.
Exactly.
But so it's pandemonium.
We can host these barazas in different spaces in the city.
Sawa. Yeah? I'm game.
So
I'm down for that.
Ah, you heard it here first. Eh? Don't know who's going to fund it, but
no, I mean, look, I told you we have a sector in the county on citizen engagement, public participation, and customer service. You know, part of what we're doing is reorienting public service.
Indeed.
If you come to City Hall Annex, if you were there more than a year ago, you'll get lost.
Mm-hmm.
I've completely redone the place, redesigned a customer service center where there are tellers on. You'll think you're at a Safaricom customer service or Airtel or whatever it is, you know. And they're, you see, before governments were designed to see the citizens as a nuisance. You know, that, awa nakuja kutuzumbua kwa nini.
Indeed.
I told them part of our organizational principles, you know, from the working backwards model of Amazon,
indeed,
is obsession with the customer. We must be customer obsessed. And the citizen of Nairobi is the customer and our boss.
Exactly.
And invariably, the interests, the inherent, the core interests of the customer will always align with what we're trying to
totally.
Do.
Totally.
You know?
Totally.
And so changing public service mentality. You know, there are people who've been there for 20 years, 30 years. There's a way they've been dealing with people. It takes time, but we're seeing the fruits of it. And the fruits of it is a level of engagement, the new people registering to work with us, you know, what we're doing with people on ground, the kind of attention we've gotten from, you know, multilateral partners that hadn't been there. And they're like, oh, Nairobi is back on the table. You know, when I go to the UN, when I go to Paris, you know, I was in South Africa for the Amali Mero Leadership Forum. And there was, you know, there were different city leaders. I was with Anyang Nyong'o and Lenku. The mayor of Freetown, Yvonne Akisoya, the mayor of Cape Town, my good friend Jordan Hill Lewis, all of us. And you know, because I couldn't make it on the first day, they actually sent me a jet to be there on time because Nairobi is so important.
Indeed.
They want Nairobi on the table. Indeed. So with all this goodwill locally and internationally, if we don't make it work now, to kill him to disband,
totally
kill him to end aende ushago.
Exactly,
because it must work now.
Exactly, the Pan African story cannot be told without telling the story of Josie, Lagos, and Nairobi, right?
You know, and let me tell you, and I'll give you an example of a friend of mine. In fact, today I'll name him. I was once in 2015. I was an MP, and I was chairman of the ruling party at that time. That was TNA. I was a young man, 30 years old. I'd gone to Wellington, New Zealand. And so when I was coming back at the waiting room, there's a gentleman called Brian Johnson who was sitting next to me, an older gentleman. And so he says, oh yeah, what your name was? I'm also Sakaja Johnson. Oh, your name's X. You know, that small talk but I'll go to the plane. And now we were sitting next to each other on the plane.
Yeah.
So we had to keep talking.
Exactly.
And so it was very interesting because we became good friends, you know, and started interacting and sharing pictures, etc. I'm of our families. He owns a vineyard there called Spy Valley.
Yeah.
And once a year, he sends a few bottles, you know. And so one day he tells me, I have a friend of mine who used to do some business in Russia, didn't work out well, came to Kenya. He has a small thing that looks like he's in trouble. Can you help him? Because, I mean, I've learned that you're in government. Mm-hmm. Of course, I hadn't told him that at that time.
Yeah.
You know, so it's later in our emails. I've learned that you're in government and the president can listen to you. And I said, okay, just let him come to see me.
Mm-hmm.
When this guy comes, first of all, he's not doing a small thing. This was Steve Jennings of Tattoo City.
Wow.
And Tattoo that time had some challenges. But I meet Steve. Steve comes to KCC 26th floor. We have a chat and he just talks about how Kenya is great. How the West is only, you know, focused on minerals, West Africa, whatnot, oil, etc. And the South was more or less imploding.
Mm.
Up north, there's no proper rule of law, and so you can't have predictability in your investment. But Kenya, I mean, even the Supreme Court has nullified an election, etc. You know, it's as a business. So we finish, and he stands up to go. I tell him, sorry, Brian told me that you have a challenge where you need help. And said, Sakaja, sit down. And told me, look, the kind of investment we've put in Kenya, the dedication we've put in and the sacrifice in our lives, if I needed to know someone to do business here, I would not be here. And so our matter is in court, and I am confident, so confident in your system, that it will be resolved. Let me tell you, that is the best speech I've had about Kenya.
Wow.
And of course, he won his case, and they're thriving, and we're still good friends. You know, it. And he told me, even if I got free land in some countries I not mentioned,
yeah.
even if I got free land, the same amount of land I have here in Kenya, to develop, I will not do it, because when the regime changes in 2 years, my entire investment can go up in flames.
Indeed,
you know.
Indeed.
But in Kenya, we know no matter what, there is the stability and the rule of law and predictability.
Yeah.
So we have a gem with us. Let us make it work together. Absolutely. And many times, and I tell people, that's why you don't see me responding to sideshows and premature politics. Mm. People are already campaigning for governor of 2027. People are being so petty that I don't respond to that pettiness and emptiness, the poison of politics of the past.
Mm.
Because we have such a great opportunity now, you know?
Indeed.
And we have an opportunity to say, okay, forget the siasa. Can we work together? Forget political parties. I really like the fact that the president now is heading the campaign for Raila Odinga, the AU, and some relative calm. Because we're not a homogeneous society.
Mm-hmm.
We have different political parties, we have different tribes, we have different religions. But despite the disparity of our backgrounds,
let's come together.
We're all unified. Indeed. In terms of our hope. Every Kenyan, as I finish,
yeah.
wants just the same thing.
Exactly.
Every, let me tell you, from the askari who opened the gate downstairs,
indeed.
To you and myself, indeed. At the most basic level,
yeah.
we want the same thing: to go about your life peacefully, to make something out of yourself, and to guarantee your children a future. Everything else is a bonus.
By the way, before we let you go, my final question: from the askari downstairs to myself, to you, there's something that is plaguing us.
Yes,
which is corruption.
Yes,
we're talking about this. Decades and decades and decades.
Yeah.
2024, we're still addressing corruption.
Mm.
How do we tackle this? How are you tackling this?
It's a value problem. It's a values problem. You know, if you look at the turnover of leadership in Kenya, it's very high. But every time there's a change in leadership, we still say there's corruption.
Mm.
For many people, they're not corrupt because they don't have the chance to be. It's not because they're good. It's because they lack the opportunity. We must look at our value system. What we are doing... in a city, because I can't change your values. You know, you can't legislate on morality. It's number one, to reduce human interaction with cash. And that's why we've digitized all our revenue payment. There's nothing you should pay in Nairobi in cash.
Mm-hmm.
It goes through our revenue system, *647#, nairobiservices.go.ke, and our accounts are there. Pay into the system. The system is visible. Every day it flashes into the central bank county revenue fund, you know. The issues of before, where you know governors would collect money in cash and take 3 million a day or 5 million, doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
If you come to City Hall, there's no cash office.
Mm-hmm.
You closed it. There's no cash office. There's no cash. You know, I remember seeing someone a few years ago, an interesting governor from a neighboring county, who had met vijanas on the street, and then he looked at a parking attendant. Wanangapi leo letter, and he distributed to them. You know, and systems. There are two things. It is systems and operations.
Yeah.
You create the systems and use technology, but also now operations. But even as we do that, what values are we teaching our kids? Makbul,
indeed.
If a child in primary school is used to cutting the line, that it's okay, I can cut the line.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or I can, and I'll get away with it. I can come late to school and I'll get away with it. When that child gets a job and lies, when that child jumps traffic, you should not be shocked when they jump traffic.
Part of culture.
When they now are driving.
Yeah.
Because that's what they've done.
That's what they've done
all their lives.
Yeah.
When that child becomes a minister and becomes corrupt, will you be shocked?
No.
Value system is changed. We must start from the lowest level possible.
Indeed.
In terms of, it's a value problem.
Indeed.
So while the value story is going on, which I can't change, let me change the systems that we require. You know when you automate things.
Mm.
For instance, today, Makbul, if you're my buddy and you've not paid rates, because I have it on a GIS system. They have dashboards in my office, one showing my hospitals, one showing my parcels of land and revenue, etc. Do you know if you have not paid rates in Nairobi, and I'm telling people who have not paid rates, please pay, because I can see your parcel, and I can show you on my phone, actually.
Exactly.
I can see your parcel is red. Even if you tell me as your friend, I'm the governor,
that,
hey, boss, you need to lay. I can't until money gets into the account and reflects on that parcel. To turn green. So, even if you give me a bribe, it won't change.
It'll still reflect.
It'll still be red. You know, when you put systems and reduce the subjectivity of human interaction with the decisions, that is when you reduce corruption.
umeva watch your plastic.
Yeah, you know, it's flashy, man. This is tough to eat. And this is, there are today 184,000 kids wearing this as well, mm-hmm. across Nairobi. This is what we wear every day. This is what we use for our kids to have lunch. And we call it tap to eat. Mm-hmm. And so every day when they go to school, the teacher or our staff at the kitchens just tap and can see that this child has... First, we have consent to feed this child because mm-hmm. we must have parental consent. And that they have loaded the money, the 5 shillings. Of course, a meal is not 5 shillings. It's around 50 or so.
Yeah.
We've subsidized it. You know, we've subsidized it together with our partners, Child Investment Foundation Fund and Food for Education. The national government is supposed to chip in. I'm sure they will. And that's part of what we're discussing. Because in we did 88,000 children in third term last year. We completed our 10 kitchens. You should come see these kitchens. The state of that kitchen. It's sort of like your kitchen. You know? Mm. It's a serious... state-of-the-art kitchen, mm-hmm. green kitchen. And every day we're feeding these 184,000 children. And let me tell you what has changed. Mm-hmm. Not just the obvious outcomes of school feeding, attendance and brain development. One, these kids feel loved. Mm-hmm. Number two, these kids are happy. Mm-hmm. Number three, they feel like they belong to something. These kids don't take these watches off, even during the weekend,
right.
even during holidays.
Right.
In fact, during holidays, I had parents saying, "Ah, madam, I'm rude. You know, and then you should see them. I mean, just go down to Farasi Lane in the evening and yeah. see the kids skipping back home. Nice. The saddest thing is, we give them 650 grams of nutritious food every day. Mm-hmm. They don't finish their food. They pack it and take it back home to siblings, sometimes to their parents. But imagine that hustler who has left to go to Mjengo is not sure whether he'll get a gig today or not. But at the back of his mind, he knows whether I get or not, sure. my child has eaten.
Exactly.
The stress levels have gone down. So this is the most amazing project. I really want Nairobians to partner with us on this thing. And to see, many times we make assumptions that everyone has a meal. We make assumptions. You know, I had some people, because of politics fighting this program, you cannot, I mean, you just must be evil. How do you fight this because of politics? You
know, it's ridiculous.
Because you're under position. It's nonsense.
It's ridiculous.
You know? I'm not feeding kids of UDA. I'm not feeding kids of a certain tribe. I'm feeding the children of Nairobi, you know. And next term, because of the 7 more kitchens we're constructing, and our partners have now gotten support to us for another 7, we'll go beyond 300,000 children, 250 to 300,000 children every single day.
We can't malize this toro.
Adwezi. So, see you next month.
Monthly to Kuapa. And we are having barazas where you can come and ask questions. Yeah. We'll put it up together.
And in the meantime,
yeah.
you know, please, Nairobians, come to a customer service center. If you have an issue, write governor@nairobi.go.ke mm-hmm. or info@nairobi.go.ke. Get to our customer, service people. Get to me. Let's respond to those issues.
Indeed.
We can't boil the ocean. You know, we can't solve the issues in a day.
True.
But we must make progress. And let me tell you guys, you know, it's not magic, but every single day I wake up early to go try my best. I may not finish it. I'll go sleep. And tomorrow I'll wake up again early and just
try.
Push the needle, move it, step by step. And we can do it.
And that's exactly what life is.
That's what life is about.
Gov, thank you very much.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Thank you enough.
I'm really honored. And I'm very happy that whoever was to come yesterday didn't come. Because I wouldn't have
come.
Yeah,
it's one of your chaps, eh?
Yeah,
I was about to call him out and then you called.
And I told you, stop calling chaps. Call me. Because those guys are not elected.
Yeah.
I'm elected.
Right.
You know, I'm accountable. I have 15,000 staff.
Mm.
Many of them will make mistakes. Many do the right thing.
Right.
But ultimately, who is accountable to the people of Nairobi? It is me. God bless you.
Thank you very much.
Asante.
Ladies and gentlemen, we come back in a short while. It's all about the WRC. 1953 is when it began, and it starts here in Nairobi, heading to Naivasha, 28th of March, throughout that particular weekend. But the question is, courtesy of KCB, for people for better, who won the first rally ever? Do you even know that answer?
Of course.
Capital FM.